Great. Thank you so much, Maria. And hi, everyone. Welcome to our fourth and final mini series presentation on implementation science and why you need it. Today, we're focusing on planning for sustainment, which, if you remember, if you were at the very first one, we talked about how important it is to plan for sustainment in any implementation effort from the beginning, which we talked about a little bit in the beginning. And now we're going to do more of a deep dive into it. And I'm really happy to introduce you to my colleague, Dr. Sarah Landis. So Sarah is one of the PIs with me and Dr. Ellen Gifford at the EPIC Query, the Evidence Policy and Implementation Center, which is hosting this series along with CIDR. Dr. Landis is a clinical psychologist. She's based in Little Rock at the Central Arkansas Veterans Healthcare System. She, along with being PI of EPIC Query, she's also a principal investigator of Behavioral Health Query, which is a large five-year program looking to increase the uptake of different mental health and behavioral health interventions for veterans who need them. In addition to her VA roles, she's also an associate professor of psychiatry and internal medicine at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. And so I love working with Sarah. I'm thrilled that she's here to talk to us today about planning for sustainment. And we look forward to your feedback in the chat and the Q&A throughout, which I will be responding to while Dr. Landis is presenting. So Sarah, take it away.
All right, thank you, Ronnie. And can you hear me okay? Can you give me a thumbs up?
Yes.
Awesome, okay. I'm calling in on my phone. They're doing construction outside my house. So if you lose me on video, I will still be here on audio. So, but I'm planning for sustainment for our talk. So let's talk about planning for sustainment. So as we have had with the other slides or the other presentations, these views are ours as presenters, Ronnie and I. We don't represent the position or policy of the VA or the US government. What we do represent, so Ronnie mentioned EPIC, the Evidence Policy and Implementation Center. Our goal is a little bit of implementation science for everyone. So this mini series, the goal has been to give you a taste of implementation science, see how you can use it in your practice. Maybe you work in a clinic in the VA, but thinking about how the science can help you improve care for veterans, wherever it is that you work in the VA. So to that end, I'm going to hop us to our next. And also, if you're super interested in, we're really open to collaborating with you. So also feel free to reach out to us. Our emails will be at the very end of the presentation. And I know some of you have attended some or all of the previous presentations. So we are in number 4 of this 4-part series of planning for sustainment. And I believe these are all being recorded, and it looks like there might be the link to them already in the chat. So you can watch past ones if you haven't already. So let's take a poll. So we are planning for sustainment. And I'm wondering if you think about planning for sustainment, say you're implementing something in your setting, what do you think the main challenges are to sustaining any implementation effort? And I did a bit of a brainstorm and also listed things that we'll probably talk about as we move through our slides. I'll let folks take a moment to vote on what you think the main challenges are to sustaining any implementation effort are. It's really fun to watch the polls come through, the voting, Ronnie. I feel like we should have had, like, I really wish I would have had a Taylor Swift poll now. That would have been fun to see people's responses.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor Swift is a highly sustainable product and performer. So it'd be interesting to see what she would say about this. Yeah, no.
One of our behavioral health query staff folks finds a way to link Taylor Swift into most of her things. If you don't know Taylor Swift, you don't catch it. All right. So I see it's fun though. So I see someone said staff turnover. Would that be capacity? Yes. So staff turnover would impact capacity. So you can lump it into that. So there's probably, I probably could have also had list 18 other things you think might also impact sustainment.
So yeah, the polls are starting to slow down. I'm going to go ahead and give everybody an extra second here. So what we have listed is, and you could check all that apply. We have funding, capacity, interest or ownership, environment or leadership support, lack of planning, continued impact, or all of the above. And if you think of another one, go ahead and put that in the chat. And if I see that we're slowing down, so I'm going to go ahead and close that poll and apply the results. And what you should see is that we have 20% say A, funding, 16% said B, capacity, 20% said interest or ownership, 22% also include environment or leadership support, 10% lack of planning, and 10% continued impact. 37% said all of the above. So back to
All
you,
right.
Sarah.
Thank you, Maria. You all said what I hoped you would say, to be quite honest. A little bit of everything. So I see folks picked, I'm guessing you picked the things you think would be the top challenge to sustainment. And I see quite a few picked all of the above. So these are all things we're going to talk about. And the good news is everyone is correct. These all of these impact sustainment in addition to all the things. I know someone said turnover impacts and on all the things you may have thought but didn't write down will probably also impact sustainment. This hopefully looks familiar to you by now. This is our query implementation roadmap. It's this nice spiral, which I think really communicates we're never just done. Implementation isn't a step one, step two, step three, we're all finished, and it all went smoothly and linearly. That's not quite how implementation works. I also think it could be a bit of a spiral where we kind of go around and hop back and forward. But we're focused here on sustainment. So thinking about how do veterans benefit, what's the impact on the system, and who owns the process, which I think that who owns the process is a question I think we'll talk about a lot today in terms of whose job is it anyway, to keep things sustained, and how do you get to that place where we don't have to worry about whose job it is to sustain it? All right. So, and we have here, what will you get from this course? This is another hopefully familiar slide if you've been with us. So for each of the colors, and I'm realizing if you're colorblind, we haven't made this as easy for you. We've added to this question at the bottom. So no matter where you sit, something needs improving. And so the first question we answered was, if you could, what would you improve? Or we asked you, and then what would you need to do to improve it was our second series. The third series, well, how you know you've improved it. And this week we're talking about, and how will you keep it going? And so we're going to come back to our friend Rose, who is addressing comorbid depression and diabetes in rural settings. And if you recall, or if you're new to our set series, so she's a nurse working with veterans who have both depression and diabetes. She implemented a coaching program in primary care to help these veterans. So we followed Rose along our series, and she's done a lot of work. So we know now that she has a practice or intervention that she's going to use, that she'll get buy-in from stakeholders or interested parties. We talked about what implementation strategies she'll use. And then we talked last week about what outcomes she'll measure when she implements. And so hopefully it's not a surprise that this week we're going to talk about how she will sustain what she's implemented. So we need to think about what will help Rose keep the practice going. How can she support her clinic or the staff to make this part of ongoing usual care? So part of our goal in sustainment is to have things be part of usual care, and we don't have to think so much about it anymore. So for example, there's, hand washing before surgery. That was actually something that had to be implemented. And so now I hope it's part of routine care, and we don't have folks wondering, should I wash my hands or not? So how does she do this? She needs a sustainment plan. And so that's what we're going to talk about next. So we have another poll. I didn't realize I had the polls so quickly together. So we asked about what will get in the way of sustainment. So this poll is about whose job is it ultimately to sustain a new practice? So our options here are facility leadership, clinic supervisor. And I say clinic, you may not work in a clinic. So whatever setting you work in, leadership at that level, the person who initiated the new practice, so our champion, all clinic staff. At VA, we have local quality assurance staff and implementation specialists. It might be their job. And this time I actually thought about it and put in an other, where you can list other folks whose job you think it might be. And for this one, I think we also have this set up. We can check all that apply. So it might not be a single person that you think job it is to sustain a new practice. Okay. While you were doing a poll, I'm getting a tissue.
And it looks like everybody's still responding here. So we'll give it a moment. And again, you could choose all that apply. And we have facility leadership, clinic supervisor, the person who initiated it, all clinic staff, local quality assurance staff, or implementation specialists. And if you decide to choose other, go ahead and put that answer into the chat. Okay, so it's slowed down. So I'm going to go ahead and close that poll and share the results. And the poll results are, we have 25% that said A, 23% said B, 24% the person who initiated it, 45% indicated all clinic staff, 19% did local quality assurance staff or implementation specialists, 3% mentioned other. And did anybody else put anything in this chat? Nobody else put any information in the chat for other. Okay, take back to you, Sarah.
All right, awesome. So we have a nice array of answers. And I also, part of why I added the local quality assurance staff or implementation specialists, I actually didn't know these folks existed at the VA when I first got here. So if you're interested in implementing new practices, they are a resource that is available at most VA medical centers. And so you might want to ask around who your implementation specialist is. I just wanted folks to be aware that they exist. And it looks like the majority of folks picked all clinic staff. But I remember I said you could pick all that apply. And so my assumption is that it's several of these folks, right? So we have people who are in leadership, the folks who got it going, and then the people who are doing the thing. All righty. So let's talk about, I want to get nerdy a little bit for a few minutes. Our big goal is for you to think about how to use this. And I wanted to give you some of the research information and some more specifics so you have it available to you. When you access these slides, you can click on the hyperlinks. So if you want these articles, they're available to you. I've also made this so that you don't need these articles to do a sustainment plan. This is only if you would like to nerd out and find more information about this. So we have two definitions of sustainability. So after initial startup implementation support has been withdrawn, so that means all those implementation strategies you use to get the thing into practice, maybe training, education, maybe you did audit and feedback. After that has left, after it's been withdrawn, the core elements, so the core elements of whatever you're implementing were maintained. So it remained recognizable or delivered at a sufficient level of fidelity or intensity to yield the desired health outcomes. So basically we're doing it well enough that it still looks like the thing, or we're doing it well enough that we're still getting the outcomes that we were hoping to get. And adequate capacity for the continuity of these elements was maintained. So we still have what we need to keep offering the thing. So for example, if we want, I'm a psychologist, so I might use more mental health examples because then I know what I'm saying. If we have a new therapy for depression, we want to make sure the therapists are delivering it well enough that they're getting the outcomes we hope, or that they're doing it to be faithful to the model. and there's adequate capacity to continue offering them. So if we have 15 therapists, sustainability might not be, sustainability might not be one of them offering it. It might be more than one of them offering it. So we have continuity of offering it. We have a simpler definition here of sustainability below. So it's continued use of the program components and activities for the continued achievement of desirable program and population outcomes. So similar definition, a little bit briefer for us. So that's our definition of sustainment. All right. I also have here the Integrated Sustainability Framework. One of our colleagues, Rachel Shelton, published this in 2018. I share this because I wanted you to think about, you know, we mentioned what might impact sustainability. I think this is a nice example of all of the things that can impact sustainability. I don't think you need to use this framework necessarily to plan or evaluate something, and it helps you think about what are all the variables that might impact your sustainability. So you see here on the left, we have outer contextual factors, and then down the middle, we have inner contextual factors, so things going on in your organization. Someone in the chat mentioned turnover. So staff turnover can impact sustainability. If everybody you've trained gets promoted or gets different jobs, you now don't have anyone who knows how to do the thing. So you want to have something in place for staff turnover. We see next processes, so partnership or engagement, training, having data about how things are going, so program evaluation data, adaptation, so the thing might change over time. Sorry, I need to get new glasses. If you see me leaning awkwardly at my screen, I just can't read my own slides that well. Next, we have characteristics of the interventionist. So this could be, these are the staff or the providers who are doing the thing. So things about them that can impact sustainability. Also your implementer skill or expertise. How well did the folks implementing help implement the thing? And finally, we have characteristics of the intervention or thing. Do folks perceive that it gives a benefit? Is it adaptable? Does it fit with the folks we're offering it to? And all of that impacts sustainability. So this gives us a nice overview of all of the things that might impact how sustainable our new practice is. So let's talk about, I keep talking about what sustainability is and what impacts it, but let's talk about how the heck you create a sustainability action plan. And before we do that, let's talk, may look familiar. So last week we talked about implementation outcomes. So these are what you can measure to see if you got the thing into practice. Sustainability is down here in the bottom right-hand corner. And I like to think about sustainability can be continued implementation or continued existence of any of these other outcomes. So it's continued adoption, it's continued fidelity, it's continued reach or penetration, right? So I'm implementing a therapy in a mental health clinic, I want it to reach more than one veteran, right? I want it to reach all the veterans or a good proportion of the veterans who need whatever the thing is we've implemented. So we can still use these implementation outcomes we talked about last week when we're thinking about measuring sustainability. So what are Rose's next steps? If we're saying that she needs to sustain what she's implemented, what should she do? So let's talk about creating a sustainability action plan. So what I used for this, the next section of the slides, I wanted to use resources that were all available to you and freely available to you at that. So you'll see links at the bottom to our implementation facilitation manual. This is a product from the Behavioral Health Query Program. So we offer, and I have some slides later, we offer training and facilitation, which is a specific strategy, implementation strategy. However, our manual has all sorts of great things in it that you could use even if you're not using facilitation as a strategy. So I've highlighted here, there's a link to the page that houses the manual, and then I've also identified page numbers for you so you can go look for it, because the manual has gotten increasingly longer and more content as we've gone along through the years and revisions. So on page 87, it talks about creating a sustainability action plan. And so first you have to identify what are your goals for sustaining innovation. And then for each goal, we're going to decide and list the activities, the site or the clinic or the setting will perform to ensure that the changes stay in place. And we're going to go through these questions and some examples. And so our sustainability action plan needs to figure out who the leader is for each activity, the frequency with which the activity will be conducted, the criteria for monitoring or measuring the activity, and then the resources needed to complete each activity. And I think I've seen some sustainability action plans that include the first three and not the fourth. And I think they're all important. And the fourth, I think, sometimes is critical in terms of this isn't a, oh, just do this on the side. It's pretty simple. Once we've already implemented it, it'll just keep going. You'll actually need resources to make sure that things stay in place. And so I think it's nice to have the resources listed so everyone is aware of what resources are needed. And then, Ronnie, I see in the chat you have, you'll ask me to expand on that when possible. And I think I don't see the question.
It's okay.
I can't figure out where to see the Q&A. I can see the chat, but I've lost my ability to figure out where to see the Q&A.
No, that's my job. Don't worry. So basically in the chat, a participant said, I would be interested to learn more about implementation specialists in the VA. So is there a place that they should go to? I did a quick Google and I couldn't find a link to anything specifically.
I'm trying to think of who I asked in my facility. I actually think I met our innovation or implementation specialist, and it might be an innovation specialist is the term. I might be using the incorrect term. I found ours, quite honestly, by accident. But I would ask, if I were to try to figure that out again at my facility, so in mental health, we have quality assurance staff. I would ask whoever your quality assurance staff are, or if you email me, I will help you figure it out since I can't quite figure out. Here we go.
Do you think it might be part of the Office of Innovation and Learning?
So I put the link in the chat.
You did?
So
okay.
I had the wrong name. They're innovation specialists, not implementation. In my mind, I'm calling them implementation specialists because that's what I think they are, but it's innovation specialists. And it looks like they're not at every single VA.
Yes. So basically a lot of people concurring with you about the innovation specialist term. And so the link is now there in the chat for people to go to the Innovator Network to learn more about that. So thank you for that tangent. Sorry to derail you with
that. No, that's okay. I'm sorry I used the wrong term. I know that they're different. I just conflated the terms in my head. All right. So for the sustainability action plan, and these don't need to be fancy. In a couple of slides, I have some examples. Actually, I'm just going to hop forward for a moment so you can just see when we're talking about this, it will be a simple table. So there's in the facilitation manual, there's examples of sustainability action plan. So they tell you what it is and the instructions, and then they have examples. So this will be a pretty simple table with all of this content included. So you see here again, who's responsible, the frequency and due dates, what metrics you'll use to track progress and the resources needed. So when we're talking, this is what it looks like in case that's helpful before we get into the detail. So I'm gonna hop back a couple of slides. And before we keep going, so this is the facilitation manual. It includes so I note here that again, it's a specific implementation strategy. But the thing I like to use this manual for, it has both a chapter on creating an implementation planning guide. So how to help you plan for implementation. And then also how to create sustainability action plans. And you could use these with any implementation strategy. So you don't have to use facilitation to use these resources. The manual includes examples of each thing it asks you to create. It has sometimes, I think, several examples to go along with it so you can see what it looks like. And I have here the link to the website that has the manual and a few other tools that we offer. And I also wanted to highlight, if you are really super jazzed about implementation and would like to be an implementer, so not necessarily do research, but be the person who helps implement things. I think it's been mentioned, Query has lots of learning hubs that offer training in how to do the strategies or how to implement. And so we have one of those learning hubs here in Little Rock, the Implementation Facilitation Learning Hub. So I have a link to that site. Our training is now fully virtual. So the pandemic actually helped us transition all of our training to be fully virtual, even though it's fun to come visit us in Little Rock. It's now fully virtual. It is across 4 days. But it's 4 half days of training. So it's not 4 full days, which I think is a bit too much. They found that 2 days was too much virtual training. So it's 4 half days. So that's a resource that's available. It's available for free for VA staff. And folks outside the VA system can pay to participate in the Facilitation Learning Hub as well. So just wanted to highlight some resources in case you get super jazzed and would like to do more after learning about implementation. So we mentioned you need to figure out whose job it is, what resources are needed, the frequency for your goals. But let's think about what are your goals when you're doing a sustainability action plan. What are your goals? So I might, I want to go through these maybe a little bit, hang out here for a couple minutes, Ronnie, if that's okay, and think about maybe just the first question, how you'll assess if the innovation or thing is reaching the intended patient population. So I don't want, I want to see if folks want to drop in the chat ideas you might have of how are you going to see if the thing you're using is reaching the patient population you want. So, for example, I'm going to stick with my mental health example. If I have a treatment for depression, how might I assess if veterans with depression are getting this new treatment in the mental health clinic? I don't know if folks want to throw ideas in the chat. We'll put Ronnie on the spot and ask her how she's going to measure it. Visit logs. All right. All right. EHR chart review. Right. So hopefully when I was implementing, I created some way to help folks document that they're using my treatment to make an EHR chart review a lot easier. Or even if I created some jazzy note templates with health factors. So someone with more knowledge than me about data pulls could pull data for me on who's getting the thing. So, yeah, the health factors are key. And I think now I'm blanking, Ronnie, on the folks who help with note templates locally. It's an acronym.
CAC.
CACs, thank you. Yes. I want to ask, can we make Ashley a co-presenter? Ashley has like all the info that I can't pull out of my brain. Thank you, Ashley. We're going to make you a co-presenter. And I can't think of what CAC stands for, but the CACs can help you figure out note templates and health factors at your facility. Because the idea is we want to reduce clinical application coordinator. Thank you. We want to make this so we want to reduce the burden if possible for you to be able to see if we're sustaining the thing. So that might be a great way to see if the innovation is something that gets documented. That's a great way to look at is it reaching the intended patient population? Oh, right. Ronnie, you mentioned about the implementation outcomes like regain, right? So we want to make sure we can have continued reach. We want to reach. We might look at the percentage, right? At what percentage of depressed patients? Well, that's what you just put in there. Ronnie and I are on the same page. What percentage of Andrea put that in there. You all are reading my mind. This is fabulous. Right? What percentage? Because if it's only 5% of the patient population, I'm not sure I would call that sustainable. We might have a certain goal. Maybe we want it offered to 90%. But maybe we think only 50% will accept the treatment. So we would want to think about what our goal is for sustainable reach for patient populations. Next, the next question we would think about is, how are we going to assess whether the innovation is giving benefit to patients, right? So we can measure first if they're getting it, and then we have to figure out how do we know if they're benefiting once they get it. So with our depression, we might think about maybe we pick some measures that we have available in BHL Touch or mental health test assistant and do good measurement-based care. So maybe we build that in. So we have a way to measure if when folks are getting this treatment, it's continuing to help them. Or it might be if you have some sort of health intervention. I'm a psychologist, so be kind in your assessment of my examples of health benefits, right? So if it's a diabetes intervention like Rose, we see if their A1C is where it should be. Or if they're having some sort of surgery that they have the outcome they would like to have. So that's seen if it's still reaching the folks who want it to. We can think about how we're going to assess if once they get it, if the patients are still getting benefit. And then next we can think about how are we going to assess whether all the components of the original intervention or innovation continue. So in my work in mental health, a lot of our mental health therapies have lots of moving parts. So that can make it difficult to see, are we still doing all the parts? So what do folks think in terms of how are we going to make sure all of the pieces of our innovation continue? Nani, I'm wondering if you have any ideas. I'm stuck on my mental health examples. I should have asked some of my physician colleagues for some more non-mental health examples.
Well, you know, even in the VA, if we are working, you know, more in the reason why we did a diabetes example is because, you know, there's a lot of comorbid depression and diabetes. So, you know, I think the mental health piece comes in to a lot of different issues that we're struggling with. And there's a couple people who have said, like, we need a quality fidelity check somewhere. So when you were talking about, you know, that all the different components are happening, so a quality fidelity check, like in the example is like nursing has competency checks. So, and I'm sure that Sarah would agree with me when like fidelity is one of the hardest things that we, you know, think about with implementation is, you know, when we know that there needs to be specific core components of Rose's behavioral health coaching program being delivered, how do we know that they're all being used? So that is fidelity is a really important thing, a construct for us to think about.
Yeah. And I see someone else said, see your audit how staff are completing tasks. I love these ideas.
Yeah.
I have a colleague who was trying to reduce blood draws in NICU babies. So obviously not in the VA, we don't have NICU babies here. But she was doing checks to see what labs were being ordered. And that folks weren't immediately saying all the labs every time because those NICU babies don't have much blood volume to take that much blood out of them. So she did a lot of these kind of an audit to see how staff were doing tasks. Those are great ideas. So those three questions are about. Oh, go ahead, Ronnie.
I was just going to say, I just want everyone to remember that you've learned so much in the previous three sessions that really apply to these questions. So we've learned about a lot of the pre-implementation challenges around leadership and buy-in and organizational culture, you know, and so all of that is relevant when coming up with these sustainability goals. We also last week talked about the Proctor implementation outcomes framework, where we talked about, you know, acceptability, appropriateness, feasibility, fidelity, you know, sustainability, outcome, you know, costs, et cetera. So all of those things are really embedded in a way of thinking about sustainability.
Yeah. And I think one of our colleagues here, she actually bristles a little bit that we think of implementation and sustainment plans as different. She thinks we should be doing them both together all the time. I think for some sake of being clear, it helps to have them as separate ideas, but I like that idea of having them, using them throughout. And I see someone added in the chat about the problems with adding things is everyone tries to add this in. And I think that is, that can be a challenge, right? They have that problem in our emergency department. Our emergency department staff, a lot of us try to add things there because that's where veterans come to us often. And they sometimes have to push back and say that we can't do any more things, no more new things. So thinking about where these things live and who should sustain it. And Ronnie, you mentioned it should be discussed with leadership. And I think that kind of links to the next question about what's your plan to ensure partnerships among stakeholders are maintained to continue to deliver the innovation? So maybe you're working with a medicine clinic, and how do you maintain those relationships? So when they have new leadership in 2 years, that new leadership person doesn't say, what is this? Let's get rid of this. I don't know what this is. Because it really can make a big difference of keeping partnerships across your stakeholders. Any other thoughts for folks about how to keep partnerships among your different stakeholders? What you might do to keep folks engaged enough that this stays on their radar, but not so much that you use too much of their time or it's not a great use of time. And I see someone put in here about things have to be in top priorities of leadership. Oh, incorporated into governance, a learning collaborative. Ronnie, I feel like all the folks attending this might be able to teach this. these are great ideas.
I was just going to say, Sarah, that our own sustainability plan is that, you know, we need more implementation scientists in the VA. So one of our goals is to make sure that there is a lot of knowledge throughout the VA healthcare system and other parts of the VA. We've had a few VBA people on here in prior sessions. So we definitely, you know, the more you all learn, the better it is for everyone trying to do this implementation effort. And I love there's like people are getting into some of the dissemination piece. So talking with your public affairs officer who could, maybe some information sharing on the success of a program, talking about the different ways that this can be worked into other systems that are already in place. Data is a great way to show people that something is working. And so going back to the initial pieces when someone mentioned in the chat, the EHR piece, what can we collect data on that is going to be meaningful and can be shared with others. So I think all of you have really fabulous ideas here.
Yeah, I'm loving this. So folks have, in terms of, and actually Jennifer said to incorporate it into governance. And I also think that's also answers our next question, right? How do you ensure new practices or procedures or policies or the infrastructure established gets maintained? And I know a project I'm working on right now, we're trying to get what we've started as part of the policy so that it's part of the policy to do the thing. And so then folks have maybe some more motivation, but it's also a way in the future if folks are checking to see are we following policies, it'll be in the governance. And someone else mentioned about having an interdisciplinary partnership with primary care, right? So if I'm doing something with mental health and diabetes, working with primary care would be a great partnership. And someone else said, I can't find it now. Someone talked well, about someone having put more in, frequent.
Oh, I, yeah, we were, so we were talking about maybe a yearly check-in is not the right amount of time to make sure that other people are aware of how important something is that you're doing. So how can you do that was relevant to the competency check-ins as a time to sort of go over the fidelity. But then I just also want to say that there was an interesting point in the Q&A about sometimes it's how do you keep yourself engaged in your implementation and or sustainment effort? And I think that's a really good point. How do we retain our own motivation to improving care. And do you have any thoughts about that, Sarah?
Oh boy,
that's a hard one.
That might be a harder one, Ronnie. I feel like, so Michelle said that teaching helps, and I actually think I'm gonna say yes to Michelle. I teach an annual seminar for our interns, and for me, it helps me stay excited because they're really excited. So it helps me be motivated. I'm a data nerd, so if I can see that this is actually getting to veterans and they're actually getting benefit, that's really motivating to me. Somebody else had mentioned, I know you mentioned the public affairs. I do, with my leadership, I try to send them at least a couple times a year, just a good news email. Like the subject line literally says good news. So they're motivated to read my email, and it's just some good news about whatever it is we're doing. So in terms of if we got nice feedback from a veteran, if we reached some cool benchmark of like maybe like the 100th person got something, I like having those good news stories, and it's kind of nice to send those to leadership. So it's not just saying, hi, we have a problem. I like them to get some good news once in a while. And I see Brian asked any role for annual or semi-annual TMS at a local level. I mean, that could be motivating to other folks in terms of, one of the things I do for my annual workshop is I do all the paperwork to offer CE credit. So that folks are, it's not just the interns who are excited. Sometimes our staff come again, because they also are getting some free CE credit and a refresher. So I think we can use TMS to our benefit and really offer folks reminders that also get them what they need professionally in terms of CE credit.
Sarah, go ahead.
That's okay. No.
I was just going to say that, this is our last in our series, and you will get a survey at the end of this, and it's be really helpful to know what to do moving on from this. So if you have ideas like the TMS or the brief check-ins or the booster sessions or how to engage other staff that you work with in these types of sessions, please let us know, because it's going to be really helpful for us in planning future efforts. And then I just want to say that somebody's also just put into the chat, like, how can you perhaps expand on successes with veterans. And this person hasn't said this, but we've done this before, which is how do we involve the veterans themselves in our opportunities into outreach and share information? There's a lot of research to suggest that researchers aren't the best credible source for sharing, you know, good news and about what really is working in a healthcare system, but people do want to hear from patients and families. So if there's a role for someone like that, and we've been able to bring some veterans on as consultants on our project to have that type of role, and it can also be like a role that they are compensated for, so they're not doing it for free. So anyway, and people are talking about the Veterans Behavioral Health Council as a way of also disseminating work.
These are awesome ideas. I'm mindful of the times. I got a little excited with all of your ideas. So I'm going to move us forward a little bit, even though I would like to hang out here more because I love you all have such fabulous ideas. This is great. I'm going to move us forward. So these are the questions that will help you come up with your goals. And then, as I mentioned, you'll just figure out here. So for example, this is a sample sustainability action plan. So their first goal is to continue to deliver benefit to patients. And they had two activities with that goal. So you'll see here, assess relevant data, and they're going to look at service utilization by patient subgroup. And then they're also going to look at clinical outcomes by relevant patient subgroup. And in terms of continuing the components of the original innovation, their goal number two. And they have activities that will train staff. So it sounds like they'll do ongoing training. So if they have new staff or staff turnover, or even just reminding folks, reviewing program components yearly, looking at that data and discussing with staff. And again, Ronnie, you mentioned yearly might not be often enough, depending on what the innovation is or what kind of setting you're in. It might be that where you work quarterly is a better frequency. So these are examples of the goals and then the activities. And again, this is in our facilitation manual. But I just wanted you all to be able to see what this looks like. And it has some of these other other activities that go with each goal. Some other tools I wanted to bring to your attention just in case you wanted more support in thinking about sustainability. So the facilitation manual talks about another tool. So I linked to the tool here, but it also, they discussed it in the manual about how to use it. The program sustainability assessment tool. And it evaluates the sustainability capacity of a program. I think it's a nice tool to use to look to see, do we think we have what we need even to think about sustainability? Do we have leadership support? Do we have resources? So it asks you these questions, and I'm going to show you what the questions look like, I think, in two more slides. It was originally 40 multiple choice questions. Since the manual has been published, our manual, the facilitation manual, there's now a shorter version. So I was looking it up. So they now have a 24 question version. But even the 40 question version only takes about 10 to 15 minutes. And you can take it as an individual or you all can take it as a group. And you can take the assessment online and you'll get a summary report of your overall sustainability. And it's really sustainability capacity. I have a word missing there. It should say your overall sustainability capacity. So within the program sustainability assessment tool, these are the categories. So it looks at funding stability, partnerships, organizational capacity, program evaluation, so what data you'll have, adaptation, how you're going to communicate, environmental support, and then strategic planning. So it asks you questions across those domains. And these are some examples of what the questions look like. So you have, you rate it from to little or no extent to very great extent. And so, but I think even just looking at the questions can help you think about where are we strong and where might we need to focus more resources or more time. So for example, champions exist who strongly support the program in terms of environmental support, or the program has leadership support. And this one says from outside the organization. So it might be, for VA, I sometimes think about in our setting, do we have support? And then up different levels of leadership, do we have support? You can see here the questions about funding stability. So for example, is the program funded through a variety of sources? Does it have sustained funding? And then there's questions here about partnerships, and you can rate your partnerships, organizational capacity. Right, so organizational systems are in place to support the program needs. Does it have adequate staff to complete program's goals? And it could be that you take, maybe you take this measure over, you know, every year to see where might we want to think about, because this provides a snapshot. But I think as we all know, in any healthcare system or probably any business, things like funding might change over time. Things like capacity will change over time. There's here questions about program evaluation. So it might be realized we're not able to do program evaluation. What might we need to put in place to do program evaluation? There's also questions about adaptation. Can the program proactively adapt to changes in the environment? I don't want to read you all these questions, but I wanted to give you a sense from each category what these look like.
And Sarah, I just want to also pipe in and say that, like, sometimes it hasn't been possible for us to use these as measures, but what we've done in some of our projects is actually use these as discussion items when we're meeting with our leadership. So going back to the idea that it's important to plan for sustainability, that you need to think about this from the beginning, these 8 categories really help us think about, well, what do we need to have in place to make sure that whatever we're implementing is going to be sustained later. And these 8 groups of very important topics help us frame our conversations. So That's another, I mean, I know that that's not part of the official way that you use this, but it's been an effective way to work with a wide range of interested parties that we need to speak to.
Yeah, I actually don't use it the official way either. Like, I think, I know you get a score at the end. I don't know what you're supposed to do with the score. I can't remember that. I use it the same way, Ronnie. I think looking at these questions to think about, do we have what we need, right? Or do we need to work on, right? Maybe, because maybe, like we mentioned, public affairs, and we have here under communications, the program demonstrates its value to the public, which I think the public could be, you know, leadership, the BA community, within the facility. And I think it could be you say, oh, we have this great thing we've implemented, and we've been so focused on getting it implemented and keeping it in place, but we haven't told anybody about it. Like, no one knows. So these questions might highlight, maybe we need to work on communication outside of our group. And so I think this is more like, a to me, a planning tool to plan for sustainment. And I see Ashley asking how often you should take this. And it, when we do sustainability planning, you could think about using this, looking at these questions whenever you revisit your sustainability plan. You might, maybe once a year, I think it could depend. But I know Ashley, I see she say you feel like things could change very quickly, which I think is also true. I wouldn't take it often, is maybe the short version. And I think once you look through the questions the first time, I think it helps you have an idea of, here's all the questions we can consider and things we might want to keep in mind. So I don't, yes, it could change quickly, and I still wouldn't take this really often. I might have the questions in mind, but not take it really often. Ronnie, what do you think for how often to take this or use these questions?
I totally agree with what you've said. I think it's like, even the 24 item isn't that short. I mean, it's shorter than 40. I think it's a lot to ask very busy professionals to do this. I wouldn't do it more than once a year, but I would use these more frequent check-ins that we've been talking about as an idea, you know, maybe take one or two of these items to really think about with some, you know, with a leader, with a colleague, a champion, whomever you're working with, to really think about, well, what do we need to be focusing on? How does this stand from your perspective? But maybe, yeah, assessment wise, once a year.
Yeah, I agree. They also have a similar tool. So there's the program sustainability assessment tool, and then there's a clinical sustainability assessment tool. I actually don't, I do a lot of clinical work and still really like the program sustainability assessment tool. Ronnie, I don't know if you have experience with both of them. I've never felt the need to have something different than the program sustainability assessment tool, but I know we refer folks to both. I wanted to make sure folks had awareness of both of them. Do you have any thoughts on their difference or which one you prefer?
No, I feel exactly as you did. And some of my mentees have asked, well, why would I not use the clinical one? Because I'm focusing on something very clinical, such as prep uptake in, you know, a primary care clinic or something to prevent HIV. And I feel that the 8 components of the PSAT fit anything, but that doesn't, I just have not had the experience of using the CSAT. It would be interesting to know if people feel that one would be more relevant, and especially since there's a lot of really strong clinical people on this, it would, if you do look at both of them and think about using one over the other, you should let us know what you think. Yeah. It would be great to know.
I would be super interested, because I was like, well, I like the first one, even though I do clinical work. All right, and so we're here, a familiar slide if you've been to the others, again, the implementation roadmap. So we've talked about pre-implementation, we've talked about implementation, and then today we've talked a bit about sustainment. So you can kind of think through these phases using the query roadmap. And again, remember that if you move forward and backward, you aren't doing it wrong. That's how implementation works. It's not always linear. So I just want to say that for all of us to hear. And I want to make sure, I'm going to put this slide up. It has my email and Ronnie's email. And I want to make sure, Ronnie, that we had time for any questions in the Q&A that may have come up that we didn't get to.
I think that we have covered all of the questions. I think everyone's done a really great job of sharing information, and there's been some back and forth chatting. Maria has just put in a link to past sessions for those who are not able to make it. You can not only see the transcript, you can hear the recordings of those. Of course, it's not the same as hearing us banter back and forth live, but I hope you'll get a lot out of the recordings. And then there's also a link earlier to today's handouts. And again, this will also, you'll have recordings and transcript from this too. It would be great to know if anyone has any last minute thoughts about what they need. Is there anything that you still need to think about from your perspective on either implementation or sustainment activities for what you want to be doing? Nothing is coming up quite yet, but people can certainly email us if there's anything else. And I do know that we really do want to get your feedback prior to you going into whatever is the next thing you're doing at the top of the hour. So maybe what I'll do here is just thank Dr. Landa so much for being part of today's, or leading today's session, being part of EPIC, and really helping us get the word out for why implementation science is so important for getting our innovations into practice. Someone has just asked about the slides for the third session be shared. I think all of them are at their link, but I'll let Maria answer that one. But thank you to everyone. It's been such a pleasure to have you join us for either 1, 2, 3, or 4 sessions over this month of June. And really hope that you'll be using implementation science, and hopefully we'll see you at another session at another time.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Thanks all.
Yeah, I want to thank all our presenters for preparing and presenting for today. And for anybody who's looking for past sessions, you can go to the HSR Cyber Seminar homepage, and you'll see a page of all past sessions and actually some plugs for future sessions. And on the past session page holds the handouts, the recording, and transcripts of the EPIC sessions. But when I close the meeting today, you'll be prompted with a survey form. Please take a few moments to fill that out. Really do count and appreciate your feedback. We share the feedback with our presenters. So as Ronnie had mentioned, if you have any other ideas of any future sessions you would like to see, please make sure that you indicate that in that survey. Have a great day, everyone, and have a great summer.
Thanks so much to everyone. Take care.